Good morning. I'm Barb Blutcher. I'm sorry that we're not talking about entomopathogenic nematodes, but we do have a new stink bug in Ohio and in the United States as well. The brown marmorated stink bug, Halomorpha halis, is got its name because of the brown marbling coloration. It is believed to have first, because of it, although it's a good flyer, it's believed that because of its coloring, it was able to camouflage and hide on some cartons, and it came into the United States via a ship. Oops. How's it doing that?
Use your arrow.
Yeah, don't. Are you
okay.
Ready to speak?
Pardon?
Just use the arrows to go.
Okay. I didn't mean to hit it at all. At any rate, it was first reported in Allentown, Pennsylvania in 2001. It's believed that it was actually there before then, but because it looks similar to some of the other stink bugs, it was kind of ignored or passed off. However, there was numerous reports of homeowners complaining about these stink bugs accumulating in their houses in the fall, and that's what caused a more increased attention that got this thing identified. From there, it continued into the adjacent states, and by 2004, it was all the way over on the other side of the Mississippi River. They had established colonies both in Oregon and California, so it's moving fast. Then just a month ago, it was reported right here in right in Columbus, Ohio, in somebody's house. The reason, again, that this has been somewhat overlooked is because it looks very similar to some of the other stink bugs that we have. The diagnostic features are the white banding on the antenna. The second to the last segment is white. Fresh specimens or freshly killed specimens have red eyes and red ocelli. After they've dried out, the eyes, compound eyes, become rather dark. You also notice the black and white banding on the exposed areas of the abdomen. On the ventral side, it's light colored, or it may or may not have some gray or black markings. The legs are brown, but they have a faint white banding to them as well. These are just some pictures of the adults, about 5/8 of an inch long, really pretty little bugs. Their life cycles, they start overwintering in homes and protected sites in late September. They emerge in April and begin to mate. The females will lay clusters of around 28 eggs on the underside of the leaves. Basically, she is laying eggs from June through September, and there you have various stages of these nymphs appearing all summer long. They undergo 5 instars, 1 week per instar, and again, because they are hatching all summer long, you're going to see various stages of these bugs at one time. Up here in the northern states, they have one generation a year. Where they originated in Southeast Asia, they actually have up to 5 generations a year. So this is a good, important bug to keep an eye out for. These are just some images of the life stages. The eggs are about 5 millimeters. The first instars are more orangey with the black stripes. They tend to stay clustered pretty close to the eggs. Then as they molt, they become a little bit darker. Just some more images. By the second instar, you can see that they have very, very noticeable banding on the antenna and the legs. People complain about them looking like ticks. And this is just an image here of how they tend to aggregate on leaves. They tend to hide in the folds of the leaves so they're not noticed. And this one bug up here in the upper left, that is actually a green stink bug. And surprisingly, they have been recorded hanging out with the green stink bug nymphs. The problem with these bugs is that they cause a lot of damage to our fruits and leaves. They in China, they have been recorded causing damage to papyrus species, the pears, all the prunus species, the apples, peaches, apricots, ficus species, persimmon and citrus. They damage vegetables, also real pests on soybeans and other beans, and some ornamentals. In the United States, so far, they have found damage to the Asian pear, prunus species again, raspberries, grapes, and they're noticed both in backyard orchards as well, or backyard home fruit trees as well as orchards. They cause a lot of damage to the beans by actually damaging the immature seeds inside the pod. On ornamentals, we've found the damage on the buddleia, the butterfly bush, rosa species, honeysuckle, and paulownia, which is the empress tree. The type of damage that we see is typical of their order. They have that piercing, sucking proboscis. They are piercing the skin of the fruit, causing weeping and pitting and scarring, which as the season progresses, that damage becomes worse. On apples, we see that cork spot where the surface of the apple is rough looking. On peaches, again, we have the punctures of the fruit, the weeping and the seeping, and eventual cat facing of the fruit. It makes these, although it doesn't damage the fruit's flavor, it makes them unmarketable because of their aesthetic looks. The earlier in the season, when they are damaging the fruits and leaves, they have like a water-soaked lesions on them. They can have a stippled appearance, or they can have crow's foot-type lesions. The beans, again, they damage the immature seeds inside the bean. And because of their longevity through the season, they will switch hosts all season long. And I guess the major problem for me is because we get all the phone calls. It's just like the multicolored Asian lady beetle and the box elder bugs. They congregate in homes and protected places in the fall. And if you smash them or disturb them, they emit that foul odor that's typical of stink bugs. Because they're going to be congregating in people's houses, it's usually people who are going to be complaining about them even before the orchardist notice that this is a new pest causing problems. So if you see this bug, you can go to Rutgers website. They are trying to do a survey and keep track of this bug. You can go to the Rutgers website and send samples or images to Ann Nielsen. If you can, we would appreciate if you would actually put these bugs in a small vial of alcohol and ship them. There's a lot of information available on the web. Purdue has a really good fact sheet. Of course, Rutgers has multiple fact sheets. University of Florida has an extensive fact sheet. Maryland, you can see there's a whole host of universities that are really looking at this bug. And last but not least, Ohio State University has a new fact sheet on the stink bug that's in print as we speak. So I want to thank, I guess I stayed in time, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to thank the OSU professors and the other universities that helped to put this program together. I'd like to thank all of you for staying here with your patience, even though you wanted to hear about the entomopathogenic pathogenic nematodes. So thank you.
We have ample time for questions.
I talk fast.
For some of the other stink bugs, planting succession crops of beans, so they always have some beans in the milk stage, has been used as a trap crop. Have you looked at anything as far as management strategies?
The question is, have we tried to use a trap crop or something for that type of research? And I don't think they have yet. This is still a fairly new bug, and at this point they're still surveying the damage that they see. They haven't done a trap cropping yet. It's a good question, though. Any other questions? Yes, sir. We do. The question is, do we have parasitoids that attack these? And we do. There's several parasitic wasps that attack these. Also, there's a tachinid fly that seems to overposit on the eggs. Other questions? Yes.
A lot of the other stink bug pads, you monitor them with their sex pheromones. Is that at all feasible here? Is that
The question is, have we done any work with the sex pheromones as far as trying to attract them? I'm not sure that we that has been done yet, but I'm sure it's in the works. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.